The talk station, AM 1500 KSTP. If you listen closely, you may notice that Mishki takes great license with some of the details surrounding the news of the day. Listen at your own amusement. Thank you.
Golden Age of American Radio, it's the Mishki Broadcast, radio's renegade outpost, transmitting live from the talk station, AM 1500, KSTP. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've not heard by now, T.D. Mishki is on strike. He's been on strike since 11:01 p.m. last Friday, and the reasons have to do with money. He's not happy with his pay and will not go back on the air until he's given Joe Souchere's salary. If he gets Souchere's salary, he'll be happy to continue broadcasting in the fine tradition of the Hubbard 75 years of local programming. If not, there's going to be one hell of a lot of dead air here at KSTP. We don't know at this time whether or not management and Mishki are talking, but at the moment, we're without a host for this evening's program. Now, I repeat, there is no program for this evening whatsoever. The airwaves are quiet, the talk station is grounded, and T.D. Mishki awaits that phone call informing him that from now on, he'll be paid as much money as Joe Souchere. Until then, the stubborn little SOB is sitting at his desk, refusing to speak to anyone. We apologize for any inconvenience this may be causing you this evening.
Solidarity, Mishki. Solidarity. Keep up the fight. This is Che Guevara. Fight.
Mishki, you thug. Just one of those union thugs. I'm so disappointed. You're going to break people's bones if they go out there and announce on your time?
It's better than all the money you can get. Children.
Hi, Tommy. This is Jeff in St. Paul, and I want to say that I hope your strike goes on. This is the greatest thing. You have excellence in everything you do. You have my complete and total support. If there's anything you need, let me know.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you've not heard by now, T.D. Mischke is on strike. He's been on strike since 11:01 p.m. last Friday, and the reasons have to do with money.
That air is awful. Let me come to a show. I'll take over his place free of charge. How's that
sound? Scab! 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 There is a scab on the premises. Repeat, there is a scab on the premises. There is a scab on the premises. Repeat, there is a scab on the premises.
He's not happy with his pay and will not go back on the air until he's given Joe Souchere's salary. If he gets Souchere's salary, he'll be happy to continue broadcasting in the fine tradition of the Hubbard 75 years of local programming. Mishki, AM 1500 KSTP.
The strike's over. Word just coming in now from management that if I continue to strike, they'll sever the contract with Summit Beer. And I couldn't take that. It's over. The strike's over. Word just coming in now that failure to go on the air would end all advertising contracts. And the one with Summit would mean the end of a lot of free beer. That I'm not ready to stomach. T.D. Mishki for Summit Brewing Company, St. Paul, Minnesota. Three reasons to drink Summit. Number one, loyalty. Where's the stuff made? In your home state, or if you live in St. Paul, in your hometown. If you don't try the local stuff first, well, you're no better than a scab. All right? Number two, it's better than the other beer. That's always been a favorite reason of mine. It's better. Number three, they follow the German purity laws. No, not the ones from World War II. Would you get that out of your head? I'm going back to the 1500s. They follow the German purity laws. That means you won't see crap in their beer. Other beers have crap in them. By that I mean preservatives, artificial enzymes, and who knows what else. You got to be a biologist, chemist, and physicist to understand what the hell's going in half the time with these other big national brews. Three reasons to drink Summit beer. It's so good it's worth ending your strike over. Summit Brewing Company, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Dave Dahl's KSTP forecast. Tonight, partly cloudy, isolated thunderstorm late, and a low of 58. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and a high of 78. Tomorrow night, mostly clear and 52. Currently at 67. Now back to the Mishki broadcast.
Oh, I got glue on my string. That's the way that the world goes, man.
Broadcast AM 1500 KSTP. It was a short one. It was a short one, and I didn't make out financially the way I wanted to. Margie has some ideas on how I might be able to still gain a little bit monetarily. Margie?
Mishki, you are just brilliant when you do stuff like that.
Well, hold on a second. I think a four-year-old could have come up with that little gag.
No, good humor, good
humor.
Thank
you.
Anyway, I got off work at the South St. Paul Police Department, and all the way home on 694 between South St. Paul and North St. Paul, I'm listening to a clock tick.
That's really stupid, isn't it?
I can't believe it. No, I laughed out loud. People in other cars thought I was a lunatic. Anyway, I was thinking about this. You can get Sushi's money, but you're going to have to work 3 hours a night.
Hey, you know how after my show they play Sushi's show?
Yeah.
His 3 hours fit into 2 hours at night.
Yeah, I know.
What does that tell you?
I know, but you should go back to your 3 hours a night and do
Did I run into you at the fair today?
And
Other woman came up to me at the fair today trying to get me to go back to 3 hours. You don't want that.
You
people really don't want that.
No,
you don't know you don't, but you don't.
I miss you until 11.
Well, I will say that 10 o'clock hour was the wrong hour to give up. I agree with you there. I should have been on from 10 to 11. In fact, if they ever said go back to 9 to 11, I'd jump at it.
I'd go for that, too. And there's one other thing.
Huh.
Go 3 hours like Souchere.
And do a Larry King. When he did 3 hours, his third hour was always Open Line America. Anybody can do 3 hours Lair when the third hour is Open Line America. He didn't even have a screener. Anybody could get in.
I know. And you have to do your show at the State Fair. Then.
Whoopsie daisy. Nope. You just lost me there, Margie. But up till then, I was going to make him my agent.
But now listen. You want.
I will never, ever, as long as I live, do another show at the fair.
Well, then you know what?
I'm fired. That's the way that the world goes round one day you're up. Huh?
Mishki.
Yeah.
Then you don't deserve Souchere's money.
You're right about that.
All right.
You're right. All right.
Goodbye.
All right. You're right about that. You're right. He's doing the fair. You're right. He gets the fair bonus. The fair bonus in Suchi's case, by the way, is he gets a cut out of all that GL stuff. No wonder he's out there. I was out there today for a while, hanging out, because that's the trade-off I have with management. I won't do my show there, but I'll hang out there, you know, every now and then. Suchi's signing autographs. He puts the date on every autograph. I've never known a person to do that. What is he? Is he German or something? Why would you date each autograph? I was trying to think of why he did that. You know, I was signing a couple, too. 2 to his 10, I think the breakdown was. And all of a sudden I thought, well, hell, I better put the date on there. I don't know what the thinking is. Will they become antique autographs one day and be worth more? I don't know. How long is he planning on living? I mean, will he have 30 years of autographs? And if you got one of the old ones, well, I got one of the old ones back from 98. Oh, you got an old one. Oh, I got one where he has Alzheimer's. He signed the damn thing, Pat Royce. So I was hanging out there today, and by the way, Shadow Man, maybe you can help me with this one. Why don't black people go to the fair? Because none do. I couldn't find a single black person today.
There's nothing to do out there. It's all cows and farm equipment.
Well, what?
There's nothing there for
what
us.
What kind of a great Minnesota get-together?
They've got fried everything, but do they have chicken? No. No fried chicken.
Huh. Never thought of it that way. Actually, a woman wrote a letter to the editor today. I don't know if you caught it, Clyde. It was a black woman complaining about the lack of entertainment offerings featuring
That's
black
another
entertainers.
Thing. It's all country western stuff out there.
You know what? It's very much representative of rural Minnesota, and urban Minnesota just doesn't exist out there. I mean, let me put it this way. I was thinking of this today. Minneapolis does not exist at this fair. You would not know there is such a city in the state of Minnesota. St. Paul is there. Rural Minnesota is there. You would not know we have a city called Minneapolis at the state fair. There is no Minneapolis to be found anywhere. And Minneapolis, last I checked, was one big son of a gun of a city. You know, I don't even think people come over from Minneapolis to the fair. I just think Minneapolis is an island. And word gets out that this is a rural Minnesota get-together. And the blacks say, well, the hell with it. Because how many black people do you find in rural Minnesota? Not a heck of a lot. So they say, screw it. Reason I thought about that, there was a big article in the Wall Street Journal today about trying to get blacks back interested in baseball. They say it at the stadium in St. Louis where McGuire's, you know, the big hit every home game, 3% of the audience in the stands are black. Now, down in the southern parts of the United States, the Latino crowd for baseball is quite large. But, you know, last year we had the big 50th for Jackie Robinson, 50th anniversary, and a year later, no one's talking about that anymore. What they're talking about is the fact that for some reason, it's no longer interesting for blacks at the ballpark. I don't know what it is. And let me see if I can get the exact stats for major leagues. Nationally, the player breakdown right now is 58% white, 24% Latino, 17% black, 1% Asian. Where do the Indians go? Huh? You know, just how much of an anomaly was Jim Thorpe? I mean, I don't know. I have questions that don't have answers. The Northwest strike is continuing. Speaking of strikes, it's still going on right now. Yeah, it is. And I say, hot diggity dogski. The planes are idle. The pilots are walking around aimlessly with silly little pickets, and management is pacing back and forth in their offices, constantly checking their watches. And I couldn't be happier. Ground those airplanes. I say, shut down the airlines. Close up shop. Good riddance. One commercial carrier down, a few more to go. Nothing would do my heart more good than to see an end to global air travel altogether. That's my goal in this strike. I don't know if that's in sync with Northwest or not. But I'll tell you, it's one of the most overrated ways of getting around that's ever been invented, this airplane crap. We got by as a planet for thousands of years without these ugly metal objects hurling themselves through the air, and we'll do just fine if they vanish forever. We have cars, buses, ships, and trains. Cars and buses and ships and trains. Cars, come on, buses, ships and trains. And that's all this world has ever needed. My fervent hope is that the troubles at Northwest result in the demise of the airline, followed by the total collapse of the industry altogether, nationally, then globally. Let's keep the frickin' skies clear for birds and clouds and the moon, and put human beings back on the ground where they were born and where they lived quite happily for many a millennia. What the hell were the Wright brothers thinking, huh? Bunch of deranged yahoos. One too many under their belt. They wanted to be like birds. They wanted to copy birds. We'd have been all better off if they had wanted to be like beavers and had just chewed bark all day. No, they wanted to be like birds. Well, I'll take a strike. I like everything about this strike. I like the peace and quiet, the way the planes look so stupid just sitting there doing nothing. I like the big open corridors at the airport where you can shoot a cannonball and not hit a soul. I like the way our cars seem more important suddenly, the way a nice Greyhound ride looks a little more inviting. Perhaps those traveling overseas will rediscover the old steamer. Remember the old steamer? That was a nice way to move about, barring contact with an iceberg. Thanks for the strike, Northwest. Thanks for the shutdown. If I can think of a downside to it, I'll let you know, but thus far I'm delighted. And hope you see fit to just bury those planes once and for all in a large landfill and go back to riding ponies across the open runways. That's the way to travel. Horseback. Who needs wings, huh? Grab a hold of the mane and you'll feel a freedom no plane ride has ever delivered. Long live the Appaloosas and the Palominos, down with the 727s and the DC-10s. Bring me a Mustang. Better yet, I'll take the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. And while we're at it, how about bringing back daily travel on the Mississippi, huh? And let's get America back on those trains. Come on, gang, join with me. Flying is dangerous as hell. Did you know that? A new study out says flying is dangerous as hell. If you fly more than twice a year, you're going to die before you're 50 in a fiery crash somewhere over the Everglades or snow-covered Rockies, according to a new study. It'll be excruciatingly painful. That's what I got. I don't write the news, I just deliver it. The new stat's out. Face it, airline safety was always a myth. It's the most dangerous way to get around ever invented. What kind of morons would allow themselves to be hurled through the air thousands of miles high? You people all have a death wish or something? Go to a used car lot, buy a nice Chevy, get your ass back on the highways of America where you belong, and do it now! All you've been doing up there in those stupid little planes is showing off. Well, guess what? We don't care anymore, and you're grounded anyway. Bunch of yahoos. When we last checked, Northwest pilots and management were not talking, right? That's what we got here. Huh? Okay, not entirely true. What's the transcripts? Well, just give it to me. Pilots and management are talking. Pilots say... Oh, here's what the pilots say. We getting the money? And management is saying, nope. Okay. I guess that's the one phone call made daily. That's the same yesterday, too. Here, we got the transcript there. Pilots say, we getting the money? And where's management's quote? There it is. Nope. Okay, so they are talking, but no real progress as yet. Wait, another one coming in. This is from late tonight. Are we getting the money? And management says, nope. Okay. All right.
Mishki, AM 1500 KSTP.
I like that music. If we could get that music, I'd sure like it. No, 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 no. It's her epic return. The music. It's the epic return of Golly Needles. Huh? Jack? I'm in the middle of an ad. Jack?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing well.
You keeping the cities well?
Keeping the cities well?
Yeah. I'm down in South Dakota.
You're in Yankton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hang on, I'm in the middle of an ad. Can you
hang
on?
I've been listening to you.
Oh, okay. Hang on just a second.
Okay.
I'm in the middle of an ad. Yeah. Anyway, what was I talking about? Dee, 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 dee.
RF Mola Jeweler.
Dee, dee, dee. Oh, boom. I got to correct some ads. I hear jewelry ads around town when I'm driving around. I hear all sorts of jewelry ads on the radio. And I got to correct a few misperceptions, misconceptions, and misdirections. The story with jewelry in the Twin Cities is not really as it's being positioned. Widest selection does not mean anything. Best selection does. Remember, widest doesn't mean anything. Best selection does. RF Moeller does not have the widest selection. They have the best selection. Number two, when someone says they have the best value, that's wrong. That's wrong, because there can't be two bests. And my guys have the best value. And I hate to do this tit-for-tat stuff, but I happen to know that Moeller's going to stand behind what I say because they have the lifetime return policy. So they know you can go check out another place and see if they have a better value, and if they do, return that jewelry. Well, if you return the jewelry, Moeller doesn't make any money. See, they don't want that. Whereas the other places have these 14-day guarantees, hoping you won't find a better value in 2 weeks. Well, you may not. You're busy. You got the kids. You got a job. You got things you got to do. But in your lifetime, you might find a better value. They don't give you a lifetime. Moeller does. What else? They'll talk about their guys knowing more than anyone else, being educated. For instance, sometimes you hear you can't be an expert in all areas of jewelry. Yeah, you can. You can if you're a really good jewelry store. See, if you're a really good jewelry store, you make sure you're an expert in all facets of the business, that you have experts that cover the gamut. So you actually can do that. A lot of these other jewelry stores don't think you can because they don't realize that there's a jewelry store out there that's been around for half a century working its ass off becoming that kind of a jewelry store, see? So just clear that all up, for you, and then clear the way for you to march over to 50th and France in Edina or Ford Parkway in Cleveland in St. Paul to R.F. Moeller Jeweler.
Dave Dahl's KSTP forecast. Tonight, partly cloudy, an isolated thunderstorm, low of 58. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and a high of 78. And tomorrow night, mostly clear and 52. Currently at 66. Now back to the Mischke broadcast.
Yeah, my man. All right. Tell you a story.
Talk to me.
Every man ought to know.
I'm a guy.
If you want a little loving,
I do.
You gotta start real slow.
I hear you.
She's gonna love you tonight now.
Promise?
If you just treat her right now.
Tell me how to do that.
Oh, squeeze her real gentle.
Roger.
Gotta make her feel good.
Taking a note of that.
Tell her that you love her like you know you should.
I can comply.
Cause if you don't treat her right.
What's the word there?
She won't love you tonight.
Ouch.
If you practice my method.
Be working on it.
Just as hard as you can.
Well, I'll be working on it.
You're gonna get a reputation.
Looking forward to it.
As a love and a man.
That's me.
And you'll be glad every night.
Yeah.
That you treated her right.
Broadcast AM 1500 KSTP, Shadow Man at the board, Clyde Lewis, technical director, studio engineer, production wizard here at the program. Our number 646-TALK, 646-8255. Or long distance, 1-800-962-0792. Hello, Jack.
Yes, sir.
You know, Jack, a fella came up to me at the fair on Thursday. And wanted to know if you were for real. You
yep.
believe that? A guy was at the fair talking to me about whether you were for real, and he was talking about a conversation you and I had at least a year or more ago.
You're kidding.
Well, how often do you and I talk? We haven't had but maybe three conversations.
Since then, I got a divorce.
My divorce, became final today.
2 months, and I called you on voicemail. Did you ever get that?
Yeah, let me see what you said again. You said something about you wanted me to call a radio station that was having a marathon.
Right, for the Guinness Book of Records.
Yeah, it
I
just
wanted some
sounded...
celebrity's voice into that.
Yeah, it just sounded a little odd. I didn't
yeah.
know the station, and
yeah.
I didn't know what I was calling about.
It's a local station down here.
And I just didn't understand what good it would do for me to call.
Well, I thought, you know, if they got some push from a big-time station, you know, and yourself, that, you know...
Wait, what the hell were they doing a marathon for?
He was going nonstop.
For how long?
The whole week.
First of all, that's been done, you realize.
Yeah, but he topped it.
He got the record?
Yeah, he got the record, and he also has the record in cribbage. He's an amazing man,
What's this fella's name? What's this fella's name?
Scott Skutra. I can't pronounce the last name real well.
Is that one of those phony radio names? But this guy went how long?
He went the whole week, nonstop.
Yeah, but there already was a guy who did 7 days. He must have gone longer.
Yeah, he went like 180 hours, something like that.
And he was on the air the entire time?
Yep. They had him totally on the air all the time, doing his thing throughout the whole Midwest.
Who monitored to make sure he wasn't on any drug?
They had people follow him all over the place.
Follow him? Wasn't he just sitting still?
Oh, no. He was throughout. He went throughout South Dakota, North Dakota.
Wait. How did he do that and stay on the air?
Remote. Did the whole thing.
Wait a minute. He traveled around with a phone?
Yeah. It was cool all over the place. That's why I wanted to get...
Well, what would he do in the wee hours? You know, 3, 4 in the morning, what was he doing?
Yeah, the same thing.
Just sitting at a truck stop?
And, you know, I stayed up for all that.
Get the hell out of here.
I was like wacko.
You did not.
Oh, yeah, tell me, man. I was.
Jack, come on.
Yeah, I went through it all.
Jack.
God, I couldn't believe I almost got arrested.
Jack.
Because of it.
Jack, the reason I'm wanting you to clarify is you don't tell jokes or say funny things usually when you call, so are you kidding?
No, don't.
Come on.
Serious. This is on record, you know.
Jack.
He got it.
No, Jack, you stayed up the whole time?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, and I called I called over there where the young lady worked.
Jack.
Yo. And I almost got picked up for sexual harassment. Because being blind, I asked, what do you look like? And what are you wearing?
Jack.
And the next day, the police came over, and they said, you shouldn't say ask that. I couldn't believe it, you know? So my life has been kind of a turmoil, you know? So, anyhow, that's the kind of character you're talking to.
Jack, I need... I don't believe you.
You're no good attorney in St. Paul.
Jack, I'm starting to worry that you've been snowing me for a couple of years.
Ah, no, man. No. Man, the police were over, and they said you should never talk to Kim Billings again. So
all
what
right.
I do the next Where, day?
All right, where's Kim Billings? What station? Shadow Man, write this down. I'm calling her tomorrow.
She's
because if
tonight.
You're BSing me on this, it calls into question all the stories you've told, and you've told some beauties. I don't know if people remember.
Hey,
this
Mishki.
Is a. Hang on a second. I'm in the middle of... hey, Jack, I'm in the middle of backgrounding this call.
Okay.
Jack called... No. Oh, boy, I can't believe I got to set this up. No, I'm talking right now.
Okay, so am I.
No, you're going to be quiet while I talk. Now, just to fill you in here, folks, Jack called a long, long time ago, a year or two ago, and he told an incredible story about how he lost his eyesight. He was target shooting with a buddy of his, and the buddy shot at a target, and the bullet ricocheted and hit Jack in the temple, and he went blind. And in the hospital, he learned that that buddy who accidentally shot him also had been seeing his wife on the side, Jack's wife. Jack was unaware of this, so now the same guy that blinded him also was dating his wife. And he then learned that his wife wanted a divorce and that she was now going to be hitching up to this new guy who just blinded Jack, and he got the divorce papers on Christmas Day. I thought this was a pretty unbelievable story, but I believed it because Jack from Yankton, South Dakota, seemed like a sincere guy. Suchere heard about the story and thought I had been fooled, and we ended up having Jack call the Suchere program, and I was on at the same time, and at the end, Suchi said he believed Jack, and we had bet a few things, and he said I won the bet, Suchere did, but he never paid me. So I call him now Suchi the Welcher. And then Jack married a woman 30 years younger. And it was kind of a nice ending to the story because he all of a sudden had a new wife who was in love with him and quite a bit younger than his wife. So much like those Heineken ads, he kind of got the last laugh and game, set, match kind of a deal. But then he called me several months ago to say that he was now getting a divorce from the young woman. And I don't recall the details there, but I didn't find that hard to believe. She was marrying a blind guy 30 years older than she was, and I did not find it hard to believe that she was divorcing him. But now we have this story. The sexual harassment thing is something I don't even have a problem with, although it sounds a little fishy, but... The staying up with this guy. A, why the hell would you do that? There's nothing in it for you. He was getting something out of it. What were
right.
you getting out of it?
Just listening.
No, you weren't, Jack. At night you went to sleep.
Hmm?
At night you went to sleep.
No, well, not really.
What does not really
mean? Well, I
mean,
doze once in a while, and that's about it. But it was interesting. I'd never heard it done before.
Yeah, but Jack...
I mean, I've followed you throughout your travels throughout the cities, you know, when you've done your thing.
What? What travels have I done?
Well, when you've... when you skydived. Stuff like that.
Well, you just listen to the show. That's
yeah.
all. That's not
word
the same thing
word
as listening.
Word, you know.
How many hours out of each day would you hear?
Your
16?
Show?
No, of that fella's. 16, I bet.
Oh, God, no. The whole bit. From start to finish.
Jack, how old are you?
61.
Jack, after 3 days, you'd fall asleep.
Just doze.
Just doze?
Just doze.
For how long?
Maybe 15 minutes, something like that, and something else would come on, and I'd get back up and go into it. And but say this.
Did you call him and tell him that?
Yeah.
And what did he say?
Oh, hey, no problem, because they had a, you could, you know, make a
Jack,
pledge.
You're a very, you're either, you either are
I'm a
wonderful
writer.
At spinning little tales, or
I'm
you're
a writer.
Yeah, you're a very strange man.
KYNT, right now, this Kim Billings is on, down in Yankton.
She's on right now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to call her.
She's at 1-605.
You writing this down, Shadow Man? All right.
665-7892.
Why do you have the number handy? Have you been?
Because I always call there. That's why I got arrested for sexual harassment.
What did you say to her?
I said, how long is your hair and what are you wearing?
And she traced the call. Or she did
I didn't trace it.
69.
I left my name and number. I kept asking her to play for Wolf Jack.
Wolfman Jack?
Oh, no, Wolf Jack Man. I turned the name
what?
Around. I go by Wolf Jack, and I asked her to play what? Misty, M-I-S-T-Y. And
oh, your name's Jack Mann.
Yeah, but I go Wolf Jack Mann down here.
Cool.
Yeah, I've done that for about 30 years now. Yeah, you remember Wolf Man Jack?
Yeah, I do.
I kind of like he, you know, grimy and grutty and...
Yeah.
Get it on. You know.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Sure.
Give her a call.
Huh?
Give her a call.
Okay, Jack, could I put you on hold for a moment?
Yes, I'd love
okay.
it.
Hang on there, please. Could we give a call there, Shadow Man? Just to... I guess if the sexual harassment story is legit... lend some credence to the other stories. I don't know why I get into these things. Why? How come every time Jack calls, we start scrambling in verification mode? Why can't he just tell us normal things? She happens to be available online too, huh? Kim?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, T.D. Mischke calling from AM 1500 KSTP. I was talking to a gentleman tonight and did not believe what he was saying and needed to have it verified, and I'm wondering if you can do that. Did you call the police on a guy named Jack Mann for a kind of a sexually harassing phone call he might have made?
Actually, this happened about a month ago. He had called me and started off he just kept calling, and I had told my boss about it. He called him and told him never to call me back. Well, then he pursued to call me every once in a while. It wasn't every time I was working. And then finally our general manager called him and told him not to call me back. And if he did, we would press charges. And he ended up calling the police anyway and just telling them to check out his background. And then my general manager came to me and said if he does have a background, we will press charges. But that's the last I've heard. I don't think we have yet.
And do you know anything about this guy at all?
No, all I know is, have you talked to him?
Yes.
He doesn't sound to me like he's all there mentally.
Right.
And I don't know, he would always call up and ask me to play Misty.
Did he talk about things like, you know, how long's your hair and
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he had said, first time I talked to him, he said, what are you wearing?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I didn't answer him, and I just kind of changed the subject and said I had to go. And then he had said to me one night, I bet you have short hair, shoulder-length hair, which I do. And I said, I didn't say anything, yes or no. And then
no.
He said, I bet you have brown hair, which I do. And I said, I didn't say anything, and I thought, oh, my God, he can see me.
Do you know he's blind?
He is?
Yeah, he's blind from a gunshot wound.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if what he says is all truthful or not.
Okay, well, that's kind of what I'm trying to verify here, but at least this story was.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know, I tend to maybe believe him on that. He told me this, and this sounded a bit far-fetched, and it turns out to be true. Were you working at a station, or are you working at a station where a guy recently got the Guinness World Book of Records for being on the air?
Yeah, that's my boss, Scott Kustra.
Okay, and this same guy, this Jack Mann, told me that he stayed up to listen to the entire week.
Really?
Sleeping for maybe 15 minutes at a crack. Do you know if there's any report at all of anybody listening for the duration?
I don't know. I had never heard him say that, because that's when this all started. He would call during this...
He was calling during this week.
Yeah, during
this
week.
Yes, and that makes sense, because he was getting weirder and weirder, because he was staying up. So it was during this week that he was calling at odd hours and stuff?
Yeah, he would call, like, the very first night that I had worked overnight, because we sign off at midnight normally.
Right.
And during this whole week that Scott was doing this, we stayed on 24 hours. So,
He'd call at all different hours.
Yeah, he'd call. He was calling me late at night and asking me to tell Scott how he can become a Bucks booster. Bucks is a high school mascot here in Yankton.
Wow.
And so I said, okay, I'll tell Scott. Well, then Scott would forget to mention it, or he just didn't have time to mention it. You know, it's no big deal.
I'll tell you.
The guy would call me and say, well, why didn't he say something? And I said, hey, you know, and I told him. That's when my boss called him and told him quit to...
I can... We're going to hit up on the top of the hour here, and
yeah.
I'm going to have to get out. But I can tell you some interesting stories about this man. Sometime I'll call you off the air, because I've had several on-air conversations with him.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, there's a rather strange history that I can pass along to you sometime, but I'll I'll save that for another conversation. Thanks
yeah.
thanks for talking to me.
No problem.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jack?
Yo.
You're an interesting man.
She's cool, ain't she?
Oh, yeah, she's cool, Jack. Hang on just a second there, buddy. Wow. KSTP, good old St. Paul, big time Minneapolis. We're coming up on the top of the hour here. We got another hour to go. Stick around.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
From the dark, muddy ditches of Highway 61, home of the broadcast outcast, we return to your radio road hazard, the Mishki Broadcast, transmitting live from AM 1500 KSTP.
Thank you, Shadow Man. Jack's still hanging out. Jack Mann from Yankton, South Dakota. You know, Jack, there's one of everyone out there. Don Vogel used to tell me that. There's one of everyone. And in your particular case, I'm sure there's only one. I'm more convinced of that every time I talk to you.
Do me a favor.
How do you feel about that woman in the last hour describing you as perhaps mentally not all there?
Oh, well, that's what you do as a writer. You know, I'm a writer, and I can accept it.
What do you write, Jack?
Science fiction.
Yeah. Here's another unbelievable story. You told me that you've had stories published.
Yes, dorm book.
When are you going to send me one of those books?
Man, you'll be the first one to get it.
Oh, it hasn't come out yet?
Well, the one they scrapped, that was a signature book, had scrapped Grayside.
They scrapped it?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Went belly down, I guess.
Did they publish it? Were there copies sent out to bookstores?
I don't know, but that's what prompted Dorn Books to get a hold of me.
And then you wrote another book?
Yes, Deborah Cottage is my representative there.
Yeah, that's okay. We won't verify this.
But
I'll be happy just to actually see the book.
I want you to do me a favor.
Yeah. Jack, you don't sound like a writer.
Well, I don't speak too good English, but I write good. And I am in touch with
your inner child.
I'm in touch with Moteen Records in Detroit.
And you've recorded
Mr. Jameson there, and he's looking.
Wait a minute! You have a recording career?
Not a recording career, but he's going to work the musical aspect.
The musical aspect of what? The book?
Out of my books.
Why do you need a musical aspect to your book?
Because I there's a few pieces there. I got five of them going at one time.
Ah.
Yeah. So I got to get something going one way or another. And I got them all here. It's just a matter of...
Jack, do you live alone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
I mean, getting the stuff on good print. I got a computer here. Yeah. But right now it's not working.
What'd you think of that woman, that Billings woman?
She's honest. You know.
Were you kind of harassing her a little bit? I mean, not you know, I don't think you're...
Not intentionally. No intentional harassment, no.
But you were, well, I mean, it wasn't malicious, but you were kind of playing with her in a sort of... semi-sexual way.
No, I, as a blind person, was just interested. What I wanted to connect her with her voice, like
I
see. You,
okay,
you know.
So it was a real honest to goodness blind guy deal,
huh?
It was an honest to goodness blind guy deal.
I can't picture
like someone saying, you know, if I go up to a woman and say, "Can I feel your face?" That's, you know, she's not going to like that. You, on the other hand, she may say, "Okay, I understand he's blind."
Right. But like you, now I can't picture you. I don't know. I hear your voice.
Yeah, you never ask me, do I have long shoulder-length hair?
I picture you probably
mascara.
Have shorter hair.
Uh-huh.
And bulky. I mean, you know,
bulky?
Got a good build. That kind of stuff.
A good build?
Yeah, you know, strong.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's about...
I am that, yeah.
6 feet?
I'm exactly 6 feet tall.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bulky thing you're off on.
Well, I mean, weight, you know, weight-wise. You know, you're carrying good weight.
But well, I'm overweight. Yeah, that's a nice way to say it, yeah.
Physically able, you know. Or like Jason or like Shadow Man, you know. I picture him.
What do you think Shadow Man looks like?
I picture he a little lighter.
Lighter
like
skinned?
Like a running halfback, maybe.
Lighter skinned?
No, lighter in weight.
Oh.
Like a halfback.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly, you know, 150 pounds maybe and...
Mm-hmm.
Can rip out there.
Mm-hmm. Do you picture him as an Asian?
Say what?
Do you picture him as an Asian gentleman?
Never.
Oh. How do you picture him?
I never thought of that.
Oh, don't you think skin color?
No.
You really are blind.
Yeah. No, I don't think skin color at all.
Well, actually, he would be a bulky black man.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's bulkier. You're bulkier than I am, aren't you? You were going with the bulky thing.
A
little bit. How much do you weigh?
270.
Well, that's a good lineman.
How tall are you?
5'11".
He could run like with the Vikings.
He's almost 100 pounds heavier than I am. No. You carry that weight very well, Shadow Man.
Thank you.
I didn't know you were that heavy.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's we're not snowing you on that. So you're off there.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. And he's Asian. So, well, Jack, it's been interesting talking to you. What'd you call about originally?
Just that you put your voice into KYT and give them some publicity.
How big a town is Yankton?
About 15,000.
So they know you pretty well there.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, my ex-wife had worked with the police department.
Yeah.
She was a...
When are you going to send me one of your books?
She was a dispatcher for 911.
Oh.
Yeah.
She probably sent the ambulance out after you got shot.
She sent the police out after I called Kim Billings. McCarthy came out. Yeah. What can you say?
No, this is... Which wife sent the cops? Wife number two?
Number three.
Oh, the 30-year younger one was wife number three?
Right.
And the wife that was hanging out with the guy who shot you was wife number two?
Yeah.
And you had wife. Who was
wife
number
one?
Wife
number two died from cancer.
Oh, wait a minute. Wife number two died from cancer. The one who was involved in the with the guy who shot you.
No, that was wife number one. That they live in Mornington, Ohio.
Then you had another wife in between who died of cancer before you got, robbed
wife
the cradle.
Wife number three.
And the wife number three was in her 30s. Was
yeah.
30 when you were 60.
And she worked for 911.
And she sent a cop out to get, to teach you a lesson, knowing full well she was dealing with you.
Yep.
Have you talked to her since?
Oh, yeah. She's going to come over tomorrow, possibly, or they do a lot of repo work.
Can I talk to her ever?
Could you talk to her?
Yeah, just about, 911 experiences and that sort of thing.
Boy, that's her privilege. I don't know. Could I give her name and number off the air?
Yes.
Is that all right by
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Hang on. Okay. Hang on a second. Okay, I'm putting you on hold. Could you get the name and number of that 911 dispatcher? Forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, for indulging myself here, but if you knew the history of this man and his calls, and some of you do, a few of you do, not enough of you to justify me doing all this, but, it's fascinating to me. It's like a damn soap opera. It's funny to me. The whole thing's... What the hell's he doing writing nonfiction or a fiction when he should be writing his life story, for God's sakes? This is extraordinary. And I'm probably being taken here, hook, line, and sinker, but I don't care. It's a glorious ride down or up or wherever we're going. Shadow Man's making a call right now. Oh, boy. What do I get? That is what I like about this show, though, over, say, who's that guy on public radio? Ray Suarez? He's just got to keep going with the issues. I can detour anytime I want to. And mostly I want to. Okay. We're just calling wife number three, or ex-wife number three now. Shadow Man's talking to somebody. I'm sure it's puzzling that a radio station is calling, and I'm sure they'll... can I talk to her off the air? Off the air, can I talk to her? She doesn't want to go on the air. It's just a couple of verification points. Just a couple of things I want to just check. Off the air? It's, we're just a late night AM. Nobody listens to this show. I don't know if she's seen the ratings lately, but we're dying on the vine. I can't talk to her off the air. Can I ask her two questions off the air? Just two questions. She hung up on you? Jack?
She's a broadcaster. Hello?
She's a 911 operator, Jack.
No, she's also a radio broadcaster. She's got a radio license. Went to Brown Institute.
Uh-huh. Jack, she didn't want to go on the air. She didn't want to talk to me.
Yeah, she had also gone to Brown where I had gone.
Would it have... Oh, I couldn't have had you talk to her, so okay. Well, Jack, I'm just going to end this whole thing.
She hung up on you?
Yeah.
She does that to me a lot, too.
Okay, Jack.
Okay. Take care, man.
All right. Jack?
Good talking to you.
Jack, could I get... hell.
What's that?
Well, could I get your number off the air?
Yeah, cool.
Maybe some night I'll call you. Okay.
Hey, that's cool.
Okay, hang on, Jack. I'll be back.
Mishki, AM 1500 KSTP.
Mishki here for Homestead Mortgage. Hi! At Homestead, they have balance.
Great shot, Vic.
Nice shot, Vic. Homestead Mortgage, ladies and gentlemen, is available for you. They're just sitting around waiting for you. Hey, you know, in the autumn, a lot of people go looking for a new home and need a mortgage. It's a crazy time to look for a home. It doesn't make a lot of sense because you look for 3 months, you find one, and then there's a 60-day wait until you close, and it's January. And you end up moving when my wife and I moved. And, oh, pipes burst and, you know, things go wrong and your stuff sits in a garage for 3 months and workers come. And it's a nutty time to look for a house. It makes a lot more sense to look in the spring. I've always understood that. I just didn't think about moving one time until late August, and it just worked out that way. But I'll pretty much look in the spring from now on because you got that long runway, you know, the summer and the fall. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to move in the winter in Minnesota, but you do what you want. I'm not going to boss you around. If you do end up deciding to move this fall, by golly, I hope you go with Homestead. I think that's the gist of my ads. Whenever I do Homestead ads, I think the main point, what I'm driving at with these ads is go with Homestead. It's a big thing I want to hammer home with these ads, and what I'm trying to get across to you folks is that for refinancing or if you're going to get a new mortgage, Homestead's pretty much what I'm trying to get you to call. Homestead, of course, is a mortgage company. And most of my ads deal with getting you to call them. I would say in 90% of the cases, that's what I'm trying to do with the 60 seconds I'm on. I'm talking about Homestead. It's basically a one big push to get you to call them, and then I come at it from different angles. And over the years, I've pretty much exhausted every one of those angles. So, we might as well just cut the crap, huh? And just tell it like it is. We won't even get all flowery with it tonight. Just call the bastards, all right? Appreciate it. That's $4. $4905555. Just call them up and get your stinking mortgage and get going. Get your butt in gear. What are you waiting for? 4905555.
Dave Dahl's KSGP forecast. Tomorrow partly cloudy, a high of 78, and tomorrow night mostly clear with a low of 52. Currently at 63. Now back to the Mishki broadcast.
Uno, dos. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Broadcast, AM 1500 KSTP, the Shadow Man here with me, Clyde Lewis, Technical Director, Studio Engineer, our number 646-TALK, 646-8255, or long distance 1-800-962-0792. Hello, Doug.
Hey there, Tommy, how's it going?
Going all right, sir.
All right. Hey, one night I was on my way to work and I heard you trying to get a hold of Evel Knievel.
Yeah, we one time got a printout of all the Knievels in the country and we were just going through the list trying to find Evel or someone related to him. What we found was everyone's related to him. Everybody we called could at least remember one time in their lives when they met him at a family get-together of some sort. But then I eventually did get in touch with Evel. A buddy of mine in Billings, Montana, had the pleasure of talking to Evel. This is kind of a strange story. Everything's convoluted tonight. I'm realizing that every time I get into something, I have to background it so much. I had a guy on who was going to Tonga. And the reason he was going to Tonga was because the king of Tonga was having a big birthday celebration. And for his birthday, his aides wanted to bring this guy from Montana who would jump his motorcycle over several vehicles on the king's birthday for the king. This guy was a bodyguard of Evel Knievel's, who after quitting working with Evel became a daredevil cyclist himself. And he was a born-again Christian daredevil cyclist, and he called his act Jumping for Jesus. Well, turns out the King of Tonga also, interestingly enough, is a born-again Christian, so they were going to fly this guy and his motorcycles and all the help he needed to Tonga for this jump. So I had the guy on. And my buddy in Billings, who's a reporter for the Billings Gazette, interviewed this guy as well and did a story on him. And Evel Knievel was sent a copy of the story in Florida. And he objected to many things in the story and ended up calling my buddy in Billings and saying, I want to send a letter to the editor. This guy has it all wrong. And this buddy of mine mentioned that I'd been trying to get a hold of him. Would he mind calling me? So I'm in the middle of changing my kid's diaper at about 7:30 one night, getting ready to go to work. And my wife knocks on the bathroom door and says, Evel Knievel's, Evel Knievel's on the phone, honey. And I said, oh, okay, I'll get that. And I went downstairs, and it was Evel Knievel. And he was just just calling to tell me to call his agent. That's all he wanted to tell me. And then he'd be on the air with me. Well, I called his agent, and his agent said, well, we have 75 requests for an interview with Evel Knievel. And I said, well, Evel actually called me and asked me to call you, so maybe I'm going to be higher than, say, you know, the 5,000-watt station in Alabama is. And it, that didn't pull any weight at all. But when I said I used to live in Butte, Montana, he said, oh, well, we'll move you to the top of the list then. So that was kind of a big deal, I guess. Well, you know, I haven't gotten any calls. Meanwhile, I've seen him on Conan O'Brien, and, I've seen him around. And now he's dying, of course, and needs a new liver. And I'm going to try and still track him down. Problem is, I wrote his, he gave me his home number at one point, and I wrote it on a matchbook, and I've lost the damn thing. So I don't know where that matchbook is. I can't find it anymore. I had his home number in Florida. So that's the story there. I'll keep looking. See these convoluted answers? Because there's no simple way for me to say, you know, what happened since I was trying to track down all his cousins. Shadow Man went on the internet one time and got me every Knievel in America. They're all related, every one of them. But if you want to see a book full of Knievels, just grab the Butte phone book sometime. Knievel City in that city. What?
Hey, you know, talking about looking up names, I was at the library a couple of weeks back and was going through their catalog, their like phone book on the computer desk or whatever. And you could punk in different names and come up with the telephone number. And you can find all kinds of names that you would not believe. You can find just about every four-letter word on there. Somebody has a name.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I bet I know one you can't find. Hitler.
Right.
Hitler.
Hitler.
Yeah. You want to hear an interesting stat? Before 1939, there were 27 Hitlers in the New York City phone book. By 1945, there weren't any, and there haven't been any since. Somebody went to town pretty much on the name changing. Very tough to find Hitler as a last name in America. I imagine anywhere, but certainly in the Allied countries, very difficult to find the name Hitler. Let me know sometime if you're ever at the library and can find a family still carrying the last name Hitler. I'd like to call them.
See
how their life has been.
One more thing, and then I'm going to go.
Yeah.
In Wisconsin, they've got a huge, you know, German population, and they used to have the town of Berlin in Wisconsin. Berlin, Wisconsin.
Yes.
But after the war, now it's Berlin.
Boy, I don't know that they had to change that. That's pretty tame. Think of all the towns that are here in Minnesota as well that have German names. Well, let me see if I can think of any. Well, you know, like New Ulm, you know. I guess they just, all they had to do was put a new there, New Berlin or something like that. But Hitler's a toughie to find. Actually, I bet Dahmer's a toughie to find in Wisconsin right now. I bet there aren't too many Dahmers or Geens. That's the old Hitler thing locally there, I think. Thank you, Doug. Where are you heading right now?
Oh, I'm heading home.
Okay. You wouldn't want to stop out at Chet's. Did you get a hold of Kodiak at all, Shadow Man? You're not anywhere near 35 and 13, are you?
Yeah, I am.
You wouldn't mind stopping off at 13 there in Chet's liquor store and grab a couple six packs of Summit for me, would you? I'll pay you for it. I mean, I'll not only pay you for it, but I'll. Oh, we got it taken care of?
Yeah, Jeremy's getting it.
Oh, okay, we got it taken care of. We got a guy running out there now. So everything's okay. Thanks anyway, Doug.
Yeah, take it easy, Doug.
Okay, see you, buddy. Bob calling in.
Hey.
Hi, Bob.
I really didn't have much to say, but I just, what you were talking about, German-named towns, isn't
yeah.
Hugo? Hugo, that's a pretty German name, isn't it?
Hugo?
Yeah.
Who were the Huguenots?
Right, the Huguenots.
Who were the Huguenots?
I have no idea, but I grew up in Hugo, and I...
You know, there's so many things relating to Germans. Whenever I'm reading, they're described... I mean, you hear Huns. Well, Churchill used to always talk about the Huns. And then you'll hear, what else? Bavarians, or you hear the term Teutonic.
Huh.
There are all these things related to Germans, and were the Huguenots? They're kind of like an Amish group, aren't they?
I have no idea. I grew up in the town, and I have no idea of history. Hey, this
Huguenots.
Has nothing to do with my call. Maybe I can throw this in.
Yeah.
Cut me off. Anyway, no, you wouldn't do that. Anyway, I called in with the wrong name. I called in with my real name, Bob. I'm the guy that called in as Steve, the blind guy, and I was on the boat, and I was messing with you. So now you'll never know, and I've called in as Steve, or is it Bob?
What? What are you talking about?
You know, the boat ride, the...
Were you blind?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember you, yes.
Yeah,
well,
I called in as Steve... Because we had that discussion.
Well, but that's the name I told you to call in by? I'm not going to remember Steve. I remember you had a phony blind guy cane.
It wasn't phony. It was wrecked.
Yeah, well, there was no white.
I still haven't fixed it.
Yeah.
What fun is it to be like everybody else?
Well, if your cane doesn't look like a blind guy's cane, people are going to run you over.
No, it looks like a blind guy's cane.
It doesn't. It's not. It's the wrong color.
I know, but...
I'm you got to have the cane. There's a special color that you have to have, and you don't have that color. What color is yours? All red or something?
No, it's all silver.
It's all silver. There's no red on it. That's what it is.
Oh, there's red on the bottom. There's no white.
There's no white. That's right.
Could you buy a poor blind guy a new cane? No, I'm just kidding.
All right, Bob. I remember you. Yeah, from now on, call in as Joe. Then I'll remember you.
And I'll just call it with a different name every time.
That'll be great.
You'll never know who I am.
That'll be great, and it'll be funny as hell.
And the only way you'll know me by is the blind guy with the silver cane. And I'll call him with a different name every time.
Actually, would you call yourself Hugo Not Bob?
Hugo Not
Bob. Yeah.
Hey.
Thanks.
That'd be a good one. All right.
Appreciate it.
You bet.
North Korea fired a ballistic missile into the Sea of Japan today, the Japanese Defense Agency said. Quoting unidentified U.S. military officials, the agency said the missile was fired about noon and landed in the sea. No other information on the North Korean missile launch was immediately available. But after the missile landed in the sea, North Korea immediately seized that small section of the sea for their own and vowed to continue bombing other quadrants of the ocean and claiming them as well. Historically, few nations have attacked the ocean, and no one has ever tried to gobble up large chunks of it. Most wars have always tended to be, you know, about land acquisition. But North Korea, struggling with famine, economic collapse, and an aging military, has decided the ocean is their best bet, what with the lack of adequate defenses out there, you know. The North Koreans' goal is to continue to bomb the ocean, taking over more and more of it until by the middle of the next century, the country should be an entirely liquid nation. Something like this has never been tried before, but it's happening right before our eyes, folks. And the next missiles are supposed to be landing this week somewhere in the middle of the Pacific, where the North Koreans plan to take another 3 or 4 square miles of blue water and call it their own. Make no mistake, though, this is war. The only kind of war North Korea can wage right now. But it's still war. And it's an ingenious war. No one has ever before considered attacking vast, empty ocean space with missiles. It's so simple, it's brilliant. Put them where they ain't. It's the old put them where they ain't strategy. Cuts down on the collateral damage. Now, some people will say when the body becomes famished, the mind plays tricks and one can exhibit behavior indicating, some hallucinations. But I don't think that's what's happening here. Yes, the North Koreans are hungry. Yes, they are bombing open water in the middle of nowhere. Yes, this seems at odds with all historic military philosophy. But let's not jump to conclusions with these people. Methinks there's a method to their madness. And I'm going to spend some more time trying to figure it out. And while I'm figuring out what the North Koreans are doing, Phyllis George is getting ready to launch a big, fat, new TV talk show. The talk show, Woman's Day, premieres this week on PAX TV, whatever the hell that is. The 30-minute show will feature celebrities and experts on travel, fashion, cooking, finance, parenting, health, and relationships. She says, it's no secret, I'm 49, and these are some of the same issues I have to deal with on a daily basis. Oh. See, when you're 49, you have to deal with cooking, finance, travel, and fashion. That's what 49 means, yeah. You know what America needs more of right now? America needs more programs featuring celebrities and experts on travel, fashion, cooking, finance, parenting, health, and relationships. There just isn't enough of that in the endless magazines, talk shows, and educational programming found in the mass media today. We need that one more program to really bring home for all of us the need to get a better grasp on health, beauty, fashion, cooking, and by God, Phyllis, you're the one who has to do it because nobody else will. Nobody else has the guts to do it. Getting someone to do a talk show these days is like pulling teeth. Everyone runs scared. People would rather spend their time studying critical agricultural issues facing the global market in the next century than take on a new talk show. Nobody wants a simple talk show anymore. And the difficult, controversial issues of travel, fashion, cooking, finance, health, and relationships can only be handled by the journalistically skilled, the unquestionably professional, and when you say that in this country, well, you hear only one name in response, and that name is Phyllis George! Phyllis George! Phyllis George! Fashion, cooking, parenting, health, relationships, travel, finance, and celebrities galore. She'll be bringing them all our way. No need to fear the end of the millennium. There's a perky gale looking right into the camera ready to right this listing ship that is the USS America. Welcome, Phyllis George. Our prayers have been answered. You could not have come soon enough. How come Phyllis George never goes on strike? Why couldn't the planes be up in the air, but Phyllis George grounded? Why don't a lot of different people go on strike? Doesn't Jack Kevorkian ever strike? Does Pat Robertson ever strike? When's he going to start picketing? I'm for that. How about the Reverend Al Sharpton? How about the Reverend Al Sharpton and Pat Robertson start their own Rowan and Martin laughing hour? Instead of the Smothers Brothers, maybe it could be just Al and Pat. Might the Spice Girls be picketing soon? When will that happen?
Mishki, AM 1500 KSTP.
Oh, hi. Hi there. Mishki for Fabulous Ferns. Strange name for a place, isn't it? That's okay. Should get you a little curious. They don't have a bunch of ferns around. It was supposed to be a joke, see. Fern Bar was real popular in the 80s, see, and it was an attempt to just, make fun of them, I guess. Fabulous Ferns. Now, what happened after a while was they decided this 80s thing's not going to fly forever, By the time the next millennium comes, people won't remember what a fern bar was. so we better find a fern and claim it's her joint. So they hired this old lady and said, we'll pay you such and such an hour to claim you're the owner. And so she's there, and she's quite a gal. Ancient relic of a woman, little bit of an Irish accent, sits in the back office doing very little, singing sea shanties and, oh, just hanging out and hitting the Jameson pretty hard. But, you know, there's a great tradition in St. Paul of old women and drinking. I don't know if you're aware of that. Nationally, I don't think there is a city with more elderly women putting down the hooch like there's no tomorrow. They get so animated after a while that they just kind of cut loose and enjoy living like nobody's business, and that's why they outlive the men. By and large, you'll see the women hanging around long after the men have croaked, and that's mostly your liquor. Now, at Fabulous Ferns, they have more than just booze. Happens to be that Fern doesn't care about the eating part so much, but I do. I was over there with my family eating the other night. It was a real interesting mix of people. We were sitting there having dinner, looking around the restaurant. And there was two tables from us. There was a kind of a Jack from Yankton, South Dakota situation. A guy about 65 years old with a striking young woman who appeared to be dressed for a night out dancing. And I'm always curious to know what's going on there. You know, was it a... It wasn't a boss and his employee. I mean, they were dating. Not that it couldn't be both, but I just checked the guy out, tried to figure if it was the money. You know, he's an old guy. You know, I mean, you can be old and distinguished looking, but you're really rarely old and good looking. You know, so maybe a little distinguished, but she was beautiful. Then there was a family in between, two little kids, and they weren't bothering anybody. This was a weekend night. And place was full. But at every table, there's a little bit of a different story going on. And one of the things I like to do whenever I go out to eat is I like to eavesdrop on conversations that are really none of my business. And then I listen to what people are talking about, and then I tell my wife what they're talking about. You know what they're talking about over there? That guy axed a fella. No, I've never heard that, and I would be obligated, despite the fact that there is some sort of privilege, eavesdropper's privilege or the sanctity of the eavesdropper, some sort of rule where you can keep that information to yourself, but I've not heard anything that really needed to be delivered to the police. If I did, I could probably just go to another table, because I've seen Corky Finney there more times than I can count. Chief of police. Eating, usually eating, or looking to arrest Fern. For what? It's not public drunkenness when it's her property and she's in the back room. Yeah, he's got to do his job. Fern's got to do hers. Stop in and see her sometime. Fabulous Ferns, four blocks west of the St. Paul Cathedral on Selby.
Dave Dahl's KSTP forecast. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, high of 78. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low of 52. Currently at 63. Now back to the Mischke broadcast.
People lost their life.
Mishki Broadcast, AM 1500 KSTP. 646 Talk, the number here, 646-8255, or long distance 1-800-962-0792. James Earl Ray's brother, John Earl Ray, who also is his cousin, says he knows the full story behind the assassination of Martin Luther King and can solve the case for a price. I don't care about James Earl Ray. He's dead. I don't care about the King family either, John Earl Ray told the Commercial Appeal newspaper in Memphis. I'm just looking for the money, he said. He's 65 years old. He spent much of his life behind bars for a variety of robbery and theft convictions. The family has insisted James Earl Ray was framed and fought diligently for a new trial until he died April 23rd in Nashville while serving a 99-year prison sentence for the slaying. Johnny Earl Ray says he's not going to say any more until someone coughs up the dough. Wonder what the true story is, the story that he has. He's got the dope, and all you got to do is pay him for it, which is what got him in prison in the first place. He has the true story. Wonder what it is. What's the real story behind Martin Luther King's assassination? Wouldn't it be great to get the true story once and for all? Unless the truth would be, you know, kind of hard to hear. I mean, what if? Just what if? What if the story of the King murderer is that the assassin was none other than Zsa Zsa Gabor? Wouldn't we be sorry we asked? Wouldn't we be sorry we paid Johnny Earl Ray? Who wants to learn after all these years that it was some ditzy Hungarian actress buzzed on a few too many Manhattans firing willy-nilly around her hotel room when a couple stray bullets shot out the window across town and into Dr. King? Who wants to learn it was all Zsa Zsa's fault? I don't. But what if you pay him and that's the real story? What a letdown it would be. And yet, we'd have it. There'd be the truth. The story would finally come out. It was Zsa Zsa in a stupor after a personal appearance cancellation in Memphis, just firing her weapon around the room in a drunken rage, trying to hit her manager, but firing out the window instead, accidentally killing Martin Luther King. Her sister then, Ava, finds a patsy, frames James Earl Ray, saving the Gabor sister's career. I'm just saying, what if that is the story? You know, wouldn't you rather go back to thinking about the whole intrigue of the FBI and, you know, Hoover and... But what if? What if Ava did save the career by getting James Earl Ray framed, allowing the two to go on to fame and all sorts of things? What'd they do? They did Green Acres and the Hollywood Squares, both of those. Saving the Gabor sister's career. That'd be a movie in itself. In the spirit of Saving Private Ryan, another major Hollywood epic. Saving the Gabor sister's career. How an assassination cover-up led two aging bimbos to a life of glory as the most famous women ever to do nothing with their lives. Saving the Gabor sister's career. Lance.
Tommy, how are you?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to call and tell you what a pleasure it was to get to meet you face-to-face at the fair today.
Oh, I was glad you came out. Yeah, it was a fun day at the fair today.
It's a nice opportunity, you know, to meet those mysterious voices.
It's a little odd when you think about it, just hanging out around there, just, you know, leaning against the wall of the building for a couple hours. I mean, if I wasn't working for KSTP, they'd probably have me pegged as one of those weirdos.
Yeah, they'd have you hauled off.
Because I don't know if you're aware of this, but in radio, it's generally assumed that whenever the fair comes around, there's going to be four or five guys around the building that you just want to keep an eye on. And I think some people thought I was one of those guys for a while.
Has Undertaker Fred been up to see you?
I haven't seen him.
Okay.
By the way, people today having a good time making fun of the poor quality of my clothing, which I found disturbing only because... A, I'm in radio, so what does the clothing have to do with anything? And B, what should I be wearing at the state fair? Have you looked around at what people wear at the state fair? How would I fit in any better? In a suit? What did they want me to wear?
Exactly.
But there was some indication from several people that, gee, can't KSTP afford to buy anything better than that? A little disturbing to hear that.
I'm going to flip you a 20 for some new shorts, but...
I cut those off. They have a coffee stain or some sort of stain on them that doesn't come out at the bottom, so I made them into shorts, which is something that my mom did all the years I was growing up. Any time a pair of pants looked a little rugged from the knee down, no reason it can't be a nice pair of shorts.
There you go.
And they are. They're a great pair of shorts. But I don't know what she wanted to... That one woman, what she wanted to see me in.
Well... I wouldn't let it bother you. No.
Thanks, Lance.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Paul.
Hi, Tommy.
You found Hitler's in the phone book?
I found Hitler. I found Adolf Hitler, and he's living in Louisiana. And there's seven total in the U.S. And guess what state has the most number of Hitlers? I thought it was going to be North Dakota, but it's Wisconsin. They got two Hitlers in Wisconsin.
All right. Do you have the phone number?
I've got the phone number, yeah, for a couple in Wisconsin.
All right, hang on. We got to move quickly, so hang on, okay. Hang on. Shadow Man, can you get those numbers and call them? And will you just bring them up when it's ringing? What a weird show this has been. You always got to be grateful, though, for people like Paul who just goes and takes care of that. I mean, these little mini producers who work on the show, they never get any credit. They never get any attention, really. But I don't even want you to screen it, Clyde, because this is one of those extra special circumstances where I just got to go on when it's ringing. Because of the nature of the of the call. You know what I should play? This would be a little cruel. Oh, no, let's not be cruel. Wouldn't it be funny if they're proud of it and go, oh, yeah, we just did our genealogy. Yeah. Is it up?
Hitler changed his number.
Oh, Hitler changed his number? Do you got a second Hitler? Hitler number two? See, Hitler changed his number. You know how many radio talk shows were calling him? Of course he changed his number. He's unlisted now. I bet with the creation of the Internet, all the Hitlers changed their number. Hello? Oh, Hitler residence? Hitler residence. Any of the young Hitlers home? Any Hitler on a t-ball team? That's little Jimmy Hitler.
This is Peter Hitler, as well as Five Corners and Pioneer Storage. Thanks for calling. If you'd like immediate information on storage, call...
Storage? Corpses? What do you got in there? Hey, wait a minute. We don't want that on the air.
Thank you.
Hitler?
Als sie durch die schöne Deutschland gehen, einen Gesang werden sie hören. Ist ein kleiner Melodie in Deutschland für 15 oder 20 Jahre. Als sie durch die schöne Deutschland,
as you travel through the schöne Deutschland, a melody will greet your ears.
Ist ein kleiner Melodie.
It's a melody that's been around in Deutschland
für 15 oder 20,
for 15 to 20 years.
Each and every German dances to the strain of the I was not a dancing polka. All without exception join in the refrain of the I was not a dancing polka.
Yeah.
Getting
sing the I was not a Nazi polka.
The that the Dachau was just a nice resort.
Sing the I was not a Nazi polka. The German is so cultured, he does not like to fight. The peaceful life is what he most enjoys. Oh yes, the German people, they're utterly convinced. IJ Farben manufacture children's toys. I never shot a Luger, a goose, a single step. Sing me, I was not a Nazi polka.
Nazi, see my new Freude!
Sing me, I was not a Nazi polka.
Was you not an SS guard?
I was not an SS guard.
I was not a Nazi polka.
Did you not love Ilse Koch?
I did not love Ilse Koch.
I was not a Nazi polka.
Did you not despise the Jews?
I did not. Some of my best friends.
I was not a Nazi polka.
Did you not think Adolf great?
I did not. Adolf who?
Adolf who?
Yeah, Adolf who?
Fritz, you're putting me on.
Was bedeutet dieser putting me on?
Are you kidding me or something?
Nein, I'm not kidding you. Adolf who?
Adolf Hitler.
Should I know him? Is he a folk singer?
You don't remember.
Nein, I don't remember him. Who was he?
Well, a little man, very mean, very loud and brash.
Mm-mm.
Not too tall, he never smiled. Wore a black mustache.
Nein, I never
heard. He had a girl. Eva Braun, hair as red as flame.
Oh,
he papered walls for many years,
yeah,
till his moment
of
came.
Of course, he's the one, clapped his hands, bent into a dog.
Yeah.
When the news came to him that we had conquered France,
that's him.
He once said, when our flag proudly was unfurled, yeah, today Germany, yeah, tomorrow the world, tomorrow the world, tomorrow the world.
KSTP, good old St. Paul, big time Minneapolis. Sleep well, Mr. Hitler.